Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan Redhawk, and as always, we are broadcasting from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in Sandy Springs, Georgia. As a reminder, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X. You can also follow the show at Atlanta Biz Radio, at Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. And connect with me on Twitter personally, at Ryan Redhawk. All tweets, comments, and thoughts are welcome there. And make sure you're connected with us on Facebook as well. We will be posting links to today's show and photos of our in-studio guest. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio and Atlanta Business Radio, Mr. Ben Hamilton, CEO of Imagineer. How are you, Ben?
Thank you, Ryan. Pretty good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. So tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what led you up to become the CEO of Imagineer.
Sure. So I'm a pilot engineer turned entrepreneur, and we started Imagineer with the idea that we could take the millions of people traveling on the road, get them off the highway and into the sky. Mm-hmm. So that's what Imagineer does. We take a 3 to 7 hour drive and we turn it into a 1 to 2 hour flight by using a lot of the small airports that are close to where people work and live.
So as a pilot yourself, a personal interest in all this, and then you went to school here, right?
That's correct. Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. And then you tried to got involved with Imagineer, not as the leadership role over there, but just started working for the company, right?
Yeah. So I was a co-founder with several colleagues at Georgia Tech. And, you know, we were, we're pilots ourselves. And as a flight instructor, we flew 150, 200 mile trips in an hour to an hour and a half. And we kind of took it for granted that we could do that. And, you know, you go to charter a private jet and you find out the same flight costs $5,000. We kind of took for granted that we could do this for a much, much lower cost. And mm-hmm. we said, well, why not bring this to a much larger, you know, bring the benefits of private aviation to a much, much larger audience.
Yeah, so let's dive into that. So you are providing that regional transportation via small airplanes, small aircraft at a cost, affordable cost and availability, right?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. It's our average price point is about $1,200, and that's for the entire aircraft. So that's okay. For up to 3 passengers.
So you can reserve, say, if Alex and I want to go on a plane ride, I would make the reservation, get her and the rest of my Business Radio X team to join me, and then we could all go to our destination together.
Absolutely. We want to take the benefits of private aviation and bring it to a whole new price point, but also make it extremely convenient to mm-hmm. use. So, you know, you go online, you can book a flight. Booking a private flight should be as easy as ordering a pizza online or scheduling an airline flight online. You go to the website, you put in your departure destination, we fly the airplane to you instead of you having to come to Imagineer.
And you provide the pilot, of course, right?
Of course.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The pilot's got to be part of this package. Do you find that most of your clients these days are companies who are arranging this for their employees or individuals themselves who are trying to find that alternate mode of travel?
So it's actually a little bit of both. That's been, you know, a really interesting finding in going through this. We, anybody making a 3 to 7 hour drive is, you can use Imagineer. So we fly a lot of small business owners. We fly doctors. We fly lawyers. We fly mm-hmm. politicians. We fly rock stars. You know, we've done a governor doing campaign stops around a state, or a small construction company doing a site visit 250 miles away and returning home in time for dinner.
Wow. So a wide array of passengers that are enjoying the travels on Imagineer. So is it as easy as just go on the website, put in my information, make a reservation and go from there, or walk us through the kind of booking process?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you do is you go to the website. First of all, think about where your closest airport is. And 85% of the population in the U.S. lives or works within 20 minutes of a small airport. Mm. So if you're in Atlanta, don't think about Hartsfield,
right.
Unless you live right next to Hartsfield. Think about Petrie DeKalb if you're in the Buckhead area. There's McCollum Airport, right. Kennesaw, Gwinnett Airport. So think of the closest airport to you where you work or live. You're going to go online, specify your departure, your destination. Mm-hmm. It'll give you a range of options, but between different times and prices, depending on when you want to fly, how much you want to pay. You select the time, put in your credit card, and you drive right up to the airplane on your day of flight. You can, you know, there's no layovers, security lines, right. Lost luggage.
And that is a big road bump for a lot of travelers these days.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So they get signed up. They get in the plane. The pilot's waiting for them. The plane's waiting for them, fueled up, ready to go. They go to their destination. And depending on how long their stay is there, you can make arrangements for them to fly back home at the next day or the day after.
That's exactly right. Some do same-day trips. Some do one-ways. Some do multi-cities in a single day, you know, to get several meetings done, avoid those hotel stays. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you think of a round-trip business trip, you know, an hour flight each direction versus 4 or 5 hours on the road each direction. What you're really doing is saving the entire day. And that's what the business is really about. You know, we love airplanes. We're pilots, engineers. Aviation is our passion, but it's really about getting our clients home in time for dinner.
Yeah. Well, how long does this booking take? If I know I've got a plane that I got to catch tomorrow morning, how much lead time do I need in the reservation?
So our average customer books about 4 days in advance. Sometimes you could book same day. The price does go up as you get closer to the day as the schedule fills up. And we offer dynamic pricing. So it's, you know, it's very much when you want to fly. You know, if you're flying during a peak time, the price is higher. If you're mm-hmm. flying during an off hour, the price is a little bit lower, but you'll also find opportunities during peak times where your flight might match up very nicely with our schedule, and we pass along those savings to the customer. So to answer your question, it's about 4 days. Yeah,
3 or 4 days is all you really need, right. And it's a regional air travel. Explain regional. What are the boundaries there?
So really, again, think about a 3 to 7 hour drive.
Okay.
If you want to go from Atlanta to New York, this is not the solution for you. You know, we believe in using the right tool for the right mission. And, you know, you hate to say airlines are good at that, but, you know, you're going to sit in an airport for a while. But you know, there's about 5 times as many people making these regional road trips mm-hmm. that we're talking about as compared to airline long distance trips, 500 miles or more. So that's the real market opportunity.
More regional travel, you said, than the long distance travelers.
Absolutely right.
Oh, interesting. And what is the current status of this regional air travel? Is it blossoming? Has it always been around? And, you know, where do you see it from your seat?
Well, you know, what we see is the light airplane segment picking up. Now the technology is here where you can make it safe and reliable and do it in a small airplane and take people off the road because that's where people are traveling. The regional airlines, they've been pulling out of cities. It's expensive for them. You know, and the fact is we serve the less popular routes, but there's a lot more of them. There's mm-hmm. not enough single travelers on any one route to justify bussing them back and forth. But so really the competition here is the car.
Yeah. And if I got to go from a small town to small town, from like Macon to, you know, Memphis, you're probably going to have a hard time finding a direct flight.
There's no way.
Yeah. So, but getting an Imagineer, you can get there in a timely manner. You get there at your in a leisurely way, but rest assured that you're flying on a good plane and with a good pilot. And I think that's part of it too. So why, in your opinion, has there not been more adopters of this travel?
Well, you know, there was several attempts in the 2005 timeframe, and it was done with light jets. But the fact is the price points, they really couldn't bring it down significantly lower than
the fuel cost?
Charter was already. And the fuel costs were high. Now the fuel costs are improving. The technology is getting better. We're just putting the pieces together is what mm-hmm. we're doing. We're taking the new light aircraft technology, bringing it together with the fact that more business travelers are on the road and putting two and two together.
So technology, that not just the airplane itself, but how you make arrangements for the plane, how you know, communicate, that part of the technology as well is improving.
That's exactly right.
Right, right. And the airplane itself, you know, recently or last summer, I should say, I flew down to Statesboro, Georgia, and a friend of mine's plane, and he took his iPad and he put it on the dashboard and used that as a navigational aid. It wasn't our only one, of course, but I thought, how cool is that? He's taking something that was just in his kitchen 15 minutes earlier, and now it's on the dashboard of his plane heading south Georgia.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of former airline pilots fly for Imagineer, and they often remark how much more technologically advanced the aircraft and the avionics are on the aircraft we fly than what they flew in the airlines.
Really? I thought it would be the other way around.
Not quite. I mean, that's why I keep going back to the fact that the light aircraft technology is really going to enable this market to be able to do it reliably, safely, et cetera.
So where are the pinch points for your business right now? Is it you need more airplanes, you need more pilots, you need more passengers, or where do you need more help?
So planes and pilots are really the challenging point to growth. We've seen the market adoption happened very quickly. Mm-hmm. We've seen strong year-over-year growth, and now it's a matter of growing the planes, growing the pilots,
And so you're recruiting some of these former, you know, large airline pilots, or maybe a young pilot just out of aviation school. Are those the type of pilots you're looking for?
Absolutely. Our pilots range from former airline, military, corporate, flight instructors. So it's really across the board. You know, they're probably one of the biggest challenges we face right now is, as not just Imagineer, but as an industry as a whole, is that there is a pretty big pilot shortage that's, you know, that's underway.
So, really? Maybe I need to get out of radio and get into piloting.
It's a great time to be a pilot, okay. Let me tell you. The baby boomers are retiring from the airlines. New regulation has made it difficult for pilots just getting started to actually get to an airline career. Mm-hmm. So that's created a big shortage in the industry. So, you know, we're having to go, not we're having to, but we find that we want to go to those retired airline pilots. They retire at age 65, still in good health. They love to fly. Those are the ideal types of pilots we're looking for at Imagineer. They have a wealth of experience, and you know, they've really brought us to where we are as a business.
So those are some of the solutions that you're implementing to solve some of the shortages, is you're actively recruiting new pilots, but seasoned pilots, like you said. Are you marketing your job openings or potential? For, I mean, how do you get out there and get the word to these, some of these retirees?
You know, in 5 years ago, we probably turned down, you know, 19 out of 20 pilots that applied to us. There was so many pilots in the market that wasn't an issue at all, but that's, the trend is completely reversed. Hmm. So yes, we are marketing to pilots, and especially the retired airline and military pilots,
yeah,
that make great, you know, great additions to the Imagineer team.
I'm sure too. And then just getting the word out to consumers that this option is available to them. Yeah. You know, so that's gotta be a challenge in itself too.
Well, when people think of a small local airport near them, they think of these airports as playgrounds for pilots, and we're really trying to change that mentality, because the truth is these airports are real gateways for regional travel,
right,
and they can be used by the members of the community. So that's really some of our big marketing efforts are pushing that
direction. Let the actual airfield and the air facility know that you are now offering these services, so they can then put that out to their potential travelers coming through their gates.
Absolutely. They've been great marketing partners for us.
Mm-hmm. Are there any associations that you like to partner with, either pilot associations or industry associations that you like to be involved with, who you can also connect with travelers and potential pilots as well?
You know, because we're kind of going out on our own and approaching a new market, you know, we're a member of MBAA, et cetera, who, you know, who does a great job of representing the industry as a whole. But really, we're approaching a new market. We're going for those road travelers that, you know, may not have been in a small airplane before. So we're, you know, we're going to. That will come.
Yeah, so you can start the association. You guys are spearheading this industry, and so you can have everyone come to you. Now, let's talk about the planes themselves. What do they look like? You know, what types are there? Are they modern? Are they, you know, tell us about that.
Sure. All our airplanes, they're Cirrus SR-22 aircraft, so they're small, modern, technologically advanced aircraft. They have a lot of modern safety features that have really been instrumental in getting new passengers into small airplanes for the first time. And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
One of them is called CAPS. So that's a full airframe parachute system that's capable of lowering the entire aircraft to the ground.
I've seen that on videos.
Yep.
Yes.
So, you know, should there ever be a problem we can't solve in the air,
it just floats back down to earth. Your wings, yep, can fall off. You know, all these things can happen, but the body itself of the airplane will deploy a parachute.
Absolutely. Now, we've never had to use it.
Thank goodness.
We hope we never have to. And, you know, but the fact is it's there if needed. And you know, it's the other tools in the air. It has a very modern car-like feel to it, which has been, you know, really helpful in getting new passengers into the, mm-hmm, airplane for the first time.
Yeah, so I imagine once they do experience this for the first time, they think of no other way to travel. So I know I'm going to pass this up over the food chain here at Business Radio X. So next time our boss needs to go down to Pensacola, I'm going
to
say, look at Imagineer.
Love to have
we
you.
Can have you there in just a couple hours as opposed to a 6-7 hour drive. So that's good. So what about 2016? Looking forward ahead in 2016 for Imagineer, are there some things on the horizon that our audience should be looking out for?
Sure, absolutely. We're adding planes this year. We're adding more pilots. You know, the market needs it. We've already seen in the first 2 months over 30% growth, you know, from 2015 in the first 2 months. And, you know, this is usually the weaker season, but, mm-hmm, we're seeing quite the opposite.
What do you attribute that to?
You know, being available for your customers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that's grown organically throughout the years. And we've, you know, I'd say one of our biggest struggles is being available. A lot of times,
yes,
we, you know, last year in quarter three, we turned down almost 30% of flight requests, which is just not acceptable as a business. When people, you know, call you up or go online to book and see that the flight is sold out, they're not going to come back. So we've really made it a strong initiative to get a lot more availability, work on our algorithms, be able to figure out how to route the aircraft more efficiently. And it's really helped and it's really worked. But the next step is let's get more airplanes, let's get more pilots.
More airplanes, more pilots in 2016, which then means more routes available for passengers, right?
Absolutely.
Right. And what about maybe taking it nationally? So serving other regions within the country, is that something that's on your radar?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, in within the next 5 years, it is the business plan to be a nationally, have national service.
Right. And then serve many regions all around the country and servicing travelers, because you may have a guy who's doing business here in the Southeast, and then next month he's on the West Coast, but he knows in the back of his mind, Imagine Air can get him from business stop to business stop. And what about that portion of it? So if a customer has already come through your system, do you save like a passenger profile or anything so they don't have to go through so many again as when they're first time visiting?
Sure, absolutely. So we want to make it as easy and convenient for the customer as possible, which has not been the case in the traditional air charter industry. In fact, just to kind of paint a picture for you, if you're chartering a flight with another charter company, you usually go to a broker. The broker bids through several local operators at each airport. And then a couple hours later, you might get a quote and availability. We want it to be 3 minutes, and we will save your information if you want us to. Of course, you don't have to become a member, but you can.
Okay.
So we want to make it as convenient for you as possible.
And what about miles, frequent flyer miles? You know, that's a big thing from some of the local airlines. Are you guys adopting any programs like that?
Somewhat. What we do is we do offer memberships where a customer can prepay and we give them a discount off their flights. But, some of our largest member actually own the aircraft themselves.
Oh, is that right?
So what they'll do is they'll purchase an aircraft, lease it to Imaginair. What they do is they get a bunch of free flight credit and they essentially fly for free. We get the inventory. They get the flight credit.
You do the flight management of the plane, the pilot, all the itinerary of where they need to be, but they actually own the plane.
Exactly right. We take on all the costs.
That's a great partnership, both for you and the company themselves, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Because you see a lot of that these days where you get to a certain level in your business career, professional career, you have a choice. You can go out and buy your own plane, or you can partner with someone like Imaginair and use their services. So, but I imagine buying a plane is a lot like buying a boat, right? The first day you buy it, you're very happy. And then all these expenses come in. And then your second happiest day is you sell the plane. So we don't want our people going through that when they can just partner with you and Imaginair.
Yeah. And that's created a real market for this program where they can buy a plane, not have to worry about the hassles, but get all the benefits of travel. Because look, only 1% of the population has their pilot's licenses.
Really?
So, it's
1% are pilots.
Close to that.
And they have their license. How many are actively flying?
That's right.
That may be something I would love to do one day. How easy is it to get your, or how hard is it to get your pilot's license?
It's a time commitment. And as a flight instructor myself, I recommend that you do it 2 or 3 times a week to get the progression you need. It's dedication. If you don't have time to do it, I don't recommend doing it.
So it takes quite a bit of time, investment, and it's probably several hundred hours worth of training and testing and retesting and evaluating. And then eventually you may get your license.
Absolutely. And, aviation is a passion of mine. So I encourage if you're doing it for the right reason, if you have the passion to fly, you should absolutely do it. Make the time, go out there, take an intro flight. It actually isn't hundreds of hours. You can get your private pilot's license in 40 hours. Now, the average private pilot has more hours than that. And at Imaginair, we hire commercial pilots, which average 5,000 or 6,000 hours apiece. So there's a big difference. But if it's your passion and you can make time for it, absolutely. Go get your license. It takes takes another 50 hours or so to get your instrument rating so you can fly in more different kinds of weather.
Right.
But it's not as difficult as you think. But obviously the mission, there's a difference between recreational flying and the professional get you there A to B type of flying.
Now, why are you so passionate about flying? Is it something you had at a young age or did you develop it later on in life?
Yeah, I think ever since I was 2 years old, my parents took me to the airport to watch planes. They thought something was wrong with me. It's a disease, but I have it, stuck with it.
And you've made a career out of it now.
Yep.
That's fantastic for sure. So, and the entrepreneurial journey, that's not something that people get right out of college. I saw you went to Georgia Tech, also spent some time at Emory, but then you just don't go straight into starting your own business, right? So that's got to be kind of challenging in itself. Were you always an entrepreneur, just waiting for that opening?
No, it just the opportunity, came upon us. I'm not the type of entrepreneur that jumps from one business to the other every couple years.
Right, you know, serial entrepreneur. Right.
Yeah, this is my mission.
Yeah,
our mission is to take private aviation and bring it to the masses.
Gotcha.
And that's what that is our purpose of
right.
That's our calling.
Right. So as an entrepreneur here in Atlanta too, how have you found that experience being? Has Atlanta been friendly to you?
Atlanta has been very friendly to us, and it's been a great place to start a business. And we've recently, in the last few years, the Northeast, where I'm from, mm-hmm. It's definitely been more difficult in the Northeast to get things going, to get the people, the planes, the places. But Atlanta's been a very friendly place to start a business.
Yeah, very, very. It's a pilot community, as we know. There's a lot of deltas here, and so lots of pilots in any one of our neighborhoods, probably, and playing soccer with our kids as well. So, but it's also a great place for startups and a great place for business, great place for entrepreneurialism. It's just a great town to be part of that and be connected. And so, looking back, when you first started, your Imagineer and your journey there, what was some of those early lessons that you learned that you can maybe share with our audience out there today who may be experiencing their first step into entrepreneur?
Sure. And, we started Imagineer with very little business experience outside. We had the aviation part, but we had a lot of business lessons to learn. Mm-hmm. So, hiring the right people, very happy to say we have the most dedicated team I could ever ask for, in aviation. Mm-hmm. But finding people that believed in your vision was definitely probably the first lesson we've.
People on staff. How many do you have on staff now?
We have about 40 on staff.
Okay. What are some of the roles that they play there?
So most of our team members are pilots, which goes without saying, of
right.
course. But we also have dispatchers, we have mechanics,
mm-hmm.
We have technology. This is a very technology intensive algorithms we use to route planes. We have obviously clerical staff as well. Mm-hmm. We're starting to do more marketing now.
What are some of the things that you do to retain the good staff that you already have in place and keep them on over there at Imagineer?
Number one, getting them to believe in the vision. I mean, that's the one thing I could say about all our team members is they're very dedicated. They believe in our vision. They meet our core values. And that's been, that's been really key, because when you first start up a business, you can't exactly pay market wages.
Right. Right. So just making sure they're involved and they agree with the vision. We hear that a lot here in the Business Radio X studios when it comes to retaining good talent. Is you got to listen to them, you got to provide them what they most want and make them feel like they're part of the family and they really bought into that long-term mission.
Yep. And we're a very bottom-up company. Everybody gets a say because, we're doing something that really hasn't been done before in aviation. So it's, you have to listen to them and you have to get everybody involved. And, the best ideas are coming from the people in the field, yeah. Certainly not for me.
No, we resonate with that wholeheartedly here at Business Radio X, as we are changing the way that businesses are getting the word out. We are kind of disrupting the traditional media models. And so we're always open to new ideas. And we have a great core group of staff over here that are making things happen on a regular basis, for sure. So we hear that a lot, though. We hear that attracting good talent and maintaining good talent is really a key element to running a successful organization.
You bet.
And some other questions about entrepreneur. Is it a good idea or bad idea to hire a family member?
Ooh, that's a tough one. And I haven't done that.
You can play the fifth if you want.
Yep, I could. I'll plead the fifth there.
Right.
But, it depends. It all depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if that's, your vision, they believe in your vision, then I think it's perfectly okay.
And those are questions we've asked before. We've gotten mm-hmm. both sides of the fence, both answers.
Yep.
Some people have been burned before. Others have found nothing but great success
yep.
going down that
makes
road.
Makes for a really good or really awkward Thanksgiving.
Right. Now, is it a good idea or a bad idea to allow dogs in the office?
It's a good idea. We do that.
Yeah, see, right? Some people don't like that.
But once you have more than one, it gets...
dog fights break out.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to start separating it. Well, the place I used to work, we had to bring my dog all the time, and it was great. But every time she'd walk out of my office, she would go get a treat from just about every other person around the office. And then my dog started putting on weight. So I had to put a sign on there that says, "Do not feed me," as she walked around the office. But, another way people are kind of bringing culture, bringing, togetherness to the office and to the workplace, because you do spend so much time together with the staff and everything there. So
absolutely. We are a family.
Right.
You say don't hire family members,
but you become that once you work with everybody over time. So what about the idea? Is it a good idea or a bad idea to have a business plan?
You know, I have mixed feelings about this. And of course, we have a business plan.
Right.
You always have to have a plan. You
of
always
some
have
kind,
to know,
right.
But you'll have to be willing to adjust that plan and you have to be willing to pivot.
Okay.
You know, we've learned several lessons about that. You know, one thing we thought was going to work really well was static pricing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't turn a profit with static pricing. We had to change our pricing. It was an education process for our customers. You know, our pilot model, that's had to change over the years.
So your original business plan doesn't look like the business is today. And it may not look like that a year from now, 5 years
Absolutely.
From now either.
So always have a plan, but always be willing to pivot.
And don't just stick to it, right? It's kind of more of an outline, not an actual roadmap to success. And you got to be willing to adjust accordingly. So all good inside information, you know, being a CEO of a regional airline company, you know, that's got to be tough in itself. But then now you have 40 people on staff and you've got to take this company into the future. And now you've got to, you know, got to do that, you know, and bring everybody along. So all good stuff for sure. So one other question before we get out, what do you like to do in your off time? I'm sure you're flying planes when you're not helping people get on planes, but what do you like to do to kind of take your mind off everything and get away from it all here in Atlanta?
Sure, sure. I don't really have, I mean, I work 80-hour work weeks sometimes, but this is my passion. So,
yeah.
I do fly airplanes, yes, but I also like the outdoors, whether it be rock climbing or hiking or, you know, whatever it be, you know.
Yeah.
It's
pretty active
sports,
guy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, there you heard it, folks. You can find Ben out there behind the seat of an aircraft or his desk at work or hiking on a trail around the Atlanta area or maybe attending something down there at the Georgia Tech campus, right? You still involved with Georgia Tech?
I try to stay involved with the group down there as well. So
good. The Pilots Club?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So teaching younger pilots, new pilots, everything in between. So thank you so much, Ben. Please remind us, your listeners, how they can find out more information about yourself or Imagine Air.
So they can go to imagineair.com and you can book a flight right from the website, or you can give us a call. The number's on the website, but go ahead and check out the website and we'd love to have you along.
Yes, yeah, imagineair.com. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/flyimagineair and on Twitter, twitter.com/imagineair. So thank you again, Ben, for joining us. If you have any new exciting news to share, please come back and be a guest again on Atlanta Business Radio.
Absolutely, Ryan. Looking forward to having you on a flight.
All right. Good deal. And listeners, we are Business Radio X, amplifying the voice of business. If your company is doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page on the website at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.